following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love the air.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. 420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 15th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Minnesota is set to become the 21st medical marijuana state. If you call a state that doesn't allow applicable marijuana to use medically, you have a medical marijuana state. Minnesota House had passed a severely restrictive medical marijuana bill. In it, only one grow site and three distribution centers would be allowed, where the Senate preferred 55 centers total. Marijuana could not be smoked, and vaporization was restricted to use under a doctor's supervision only, where the Senate bill would have allowed unsupervised vaporization. Pain, nausea, wasting, and PTSD included in the Senate bill were not included in the House bill. In compromise negotiations to appease the governor and law enforcement, the House gave in to allow two grow sites and eight distribution centers. The Senate gave in to ban not just smoking of marijuana, but any use of the raw marijuana plant at all. Minnesota patients will only be allowed pills, medibles, tinctures, and vaporizable oils. And pain, nausea, wasting, and PTSD patients need not apply, as they are not covered under the compromise. The new boss, same as the old boss as far as New York City's marijuana arrests go. The city, which had long been America's marijuana arrest capital, released data showing that arrests under the new administration of Bill de Blasio are continuing the 28,000-plus arrests per year trend of the previous Michael Bloomberg administration. Marijuana was decriminalized in 1977 in New York. However, starting with the Rudolph Giuliani administration, NYPD officers would stop and frisk young minority males in minority neighborhoods and ask them to remove from their pockets any weed they detected. Once out of the pocket, that marijuana was in public view, which still remains an arrestable misdemeanor in the state. By 2011, there were over 50,000 marijuana arrests per year. That number declined greatly when NYPD Commissioner Kelly ordered police to abandon stop and frisk abuses, but 28,000 still remains a huge number of very racially disproportionate arrests in a supposedly decriminalized state. A weekend-impaired driving checkpoint in Larimer County, Colorado last weekend nabbed exactly zero stone drivers. The checkpoint, part of Colorado Department of Transportation's ongoing efforts to combat impaired driving. From Friday night at 10:55 p.m. to Saturday morning at 2:30 a.m., officers detained 1,572 drivers at the checkpoint. 20 of those drivers were booked for DUI alcohol, but no driver was cited for driving under the influence of marijuana. The one marijuana charge officers did make was for an underage driver found in possession of marijuana and paraphernalia, and there was one charge for minor in possession of alcohol. Television's Dr. Mehmet Oz has become the latest high-profile celebrity doctor to endorse the medical use of marijuana. Dr. Oz told interviewer Larry King, quote, "I grew up with most of my generation thinking that marijuana was something that Satan was throwing at Americans and a communist plot." Dr. Oz continued, "I think that most of us have come around to the belief that marijuana is hugely beneficial when used correctly for medical purposes." Dr. Oz joins ABC's chief medical officer, Dr. Richard Besser, who recently told Denver's The Cannabis that, quote, "I went into this story feeling that I don't think marijuana should be legalized, but I came out of the story thinking, actually, I was wrong." Dr. Sanjay Gupta was the first TV doctor to publicly change his opposition to medical marijuana, writing in an op-ed announcing his first weed documentary, quote, "I've apologized for some of the earlier reporting because I think we've been terribly and systematically misled in this country for some time, and I did part of that misleading." Denver has relented and will allow the Classically Cannabis Bring Your Own Pro-Pot Concert Fundraising Series to occur. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, bending to the requests of the city, made the event's VIP invitation only when the city complained the event would violate prohibitions against open and public pot smoking, despite the fact the concerts would be held in a private gallery and pot smoking would only be allowed on a private patio. Also, the orchestra removed any references to the concerts on its website and refunded the tickets already purchased by the public to soothe the city that the event isn't open to the public. The orchestra's annual Beethoven and Brews events, however, will remain open to the public, advertised on their website, and allow patrons to enjoy classical music while openly being served legal drugs in public. So the listeners don't have to bring in their own supply of drugs. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 15th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville from Miami, Florida. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at the hemp hysteria of DEA Administrator Michelle Linhart.
Starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activists to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
Mary, marijuana, do you wanna? Mary, do you wanna tonight?
As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, PhD. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on the Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's Earlywine, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com. Weed Nerd, replaying Tuesdays at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Quarter after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines where the DEA is defying Congress and seizing hemp seeds bound for a legal Kentucky crop.
You know, the ban on industrial hemp has long been one of the most glaringly senseless prohibitions in America. Nearly everybody knows that hemp is marijuana's sober cousin, that smoking even a field of it couldn't get a person high. Yet hemp has been illegal since the Controlled Substances Act mandated its prohibition. One must procure a permit from the Drug Enforcement Administration to plant hemp in America, and they're not giving out any permits. But that has changed. This session, the U.S. Congress, at the behest of Kentucky Senator and Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, passed an amendment he wrote to the annual farm bill allowing for the cultivation of hemp for research in the U.S. states that have passed hemp laws, like Kentucky and 11 others. This led Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner James Comer to move forward on his promise to return hemp as a commercial crop for Kentucky farmers. He announced that the state would be moving forward with the planting of 250 pounds of hemp seeds imported from Italy. The planting ceremony was to take place this Friday with the organizations Vote Hemp and Growing Warriors, a veterans group that helps returning veterans assimilate upon return from war through teaching them agricultural skills. Now that ceremony is on hold, and farmers fear the delays could force them to miss the spring planting season. The DEA seized the 250 pounds of hemp seed shipment, evoking furor from Agricultural Commissioner Comer, who took his complaints to Senator McConnell and Kentucky's other pro-hemp senator, Rand Paul. The DEA seemed to relent late Tuesday night, saying they'd issue a permit. Then they reneged on that promise, claiming that nothing in the passage of the Farm Bill Amendment authorized the importation of hemp seeds into America, so Kentucky must apply to the DEA for the usual hemp permits that the DEA never gives out. So Ag Commissioner Comer has now sued the DEA, claiming that, quote, unaccountable federal agencies, end quote, are exercising, quote, arbitrary and capricious powers, end quote, to deny the fact that, quote, cultivation of industrial hemp is lawful, end quote. Kentucky ag officials refused to apply for the permit, reasoning that doing so would force the state to admit that hemp is a Schedule I drug. The Friday planting ceremony has been postponed indefinitely, as Comer says he doesn't want to, quote, jeopardize this court ruling, end quote. This stall tactic by the DEA over industrial hemp is just the latest in a long series of insubordinate acts by DEA Administrator Michelle Lenhart, who once called the flying of a U.S. hemp flag over the Capitol her, quote, lowest point in 33 years in the DEA, end quote. She has repeatedly condemned statements and moves by the Obama administration towards saner marijuana policies, saying her boss's policies make her DEA, quote, fight harder than ever, end quote. Lenhart herself remains embroiled in the Fast and Furious and Andrew Chambers controversies. The former involves collusion with the Sinaloa cartel and allowing American guns into Mexican cartel hands. The latter involves the rehiring of a snitch proven to be a liar in court. Lenhart couldn't even tell Representative Jared Polis and Representative Steve Cohen in congressional testimony whether marijuana use was safer than cocaine, heroin, or methamphetamine. Why President Obama continues to allow Michelle Lenhart to publicly undermine the U.S. Congress, the Department of Justice, and his own public comments is a growing mystery to drug policy reformers. We encourage everybody out there on social media to get involved using the hashtag #FireLenhart. Now, Lenhart is spelled like Leonhart, L-E-O-N. Hart, H-A-R-T, actually, Leonhart, but it's pronounced Lenhart. Fire Lenhart is the hashtag if you want to get involved with that. A lot of us in drug policy reform in the major organizations are putting additional pressure on Barack Obama to fire this insubordinate member of his drug policy staff. It's unbelievable that this is being allowed in this day and age. Of course, Obama picked Lenhart. She was a holdover from the George W. Bush administration. He just kept her after Karen Tandy left. She was the acting administrator for George W. Bush. And then I guess Obama didn't want to rock the boat and just kept Lenhart on head there at the DEA. This is a woman who once said, when it was revealed there were, at the time, 60,000 murders in Mexico, and many of them children and teenagers, that was a signpost of success in our fight against the cartels because they were acting out like paid animals. Break time. See you in a minute.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420. And connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
That there was.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for some Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tunes, and joining us to talk all about it is our man Chuck Diesel. How you doing, Chuck?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing, Russ?
I'm fantastic. I'm here in Miami, Florida, where it's just been raining all day. I understand Portland, Oregon has been sunny all day. I don't know what the hell happened.
I know. My car's saying 85. I am on a field of asphalt here, so it might be a little warmer, but yeah, it's great here. It's a little muggy, and overall, I've just been noticing this mood lift that I've been having just from all this great weather, so I'm loving it.
Right on. Glad to hear it. So for today, we're going to talk a little bit about wax, apparently, and for those that don't know, wax is just another name for butane hash oil, just a particular version of it. What can you tell us about the artist?
Juicy J, this is a solo album, but he's a member of the 3-6 Mafia. This is kind of one of the, I guess this is as far gangster as I go. I really like it. He's a great artist and super talented, and this is off his Stay Trippy album. That's really, I mean, he's kind of always, 3-6 Mafia have always been slightly, you know, cannabis influenced, but I feel like this song really comes out and just says it, and it kind of blew my mind the first time I heard it, because this was released in 2013, and so they were talking about wax in what I consider kind of the mainstream rap game before a lot of other people, so I thought I'd share it with the crew today.
Well, right on. I actually have some stats on that. I posted on my Pinterest account a survey that these guys had done where they took all these popular rap groups and they counted how many times they mentioned particular drugs. And it turned out, like, when it came to pills, Eminem was the top guy. When it came to cocaine, Ice-T was up in there. And the number one group for mentions of marijuana, weed, green, whatever, was 3-6 Mafia. So I guess we're on to something.
Nice.
All right, let's get to the tune right here. This is Juicy J, and the tune is entitled Wax. Thanks so much for joining us here at Chuck
Play
Diesel.
Play me some Pippin, man.
Vibe is right. So you already know what it is. Let's get high, let's get stoned. Take a hit of this and you won't make it home. Take another hit, now I'm in my zone. I can't remember shit, these drugs got me gone. I come up with a hit and put it on wax. My homie high shit, I put him on wax. It's going down like candle wax. Homie, I get on that wax and I ain't coming back. Wax, wax, put them on wax. Wax, wax, put them on wax. Homie, I get on that wax and I ain't coming back. Wax, wax, put them on wax. Wasted like a white boy, you know I got the best grass. Chilling with my snow bunny, kick back, blowing hash. 2-3 hits put you on your ass. We look like I got a diaper rash. Loud back in a plastic bag, smoke out in a gas mask. Hippie bitch made up, apple bum, good weed, alcohol. We party like we college kids, got more money than the Powerball. Bitch, I live that fast life, every day in jet speed. Look up in the skies, that I blame, no, it's just me. I come up with a hit and put it on wax. My homie high shit, I put him on wax. It's going down, like candle wax. Homie, I get on that wax and I ain't coming back. Wax, wax, put them on wax. Wax, wax, put them on wax. Homie, I get on that wax and I ain't coming back. Wax, wax, put them on wax. Hey bitch, what that ass like? Blow me like a bagpipe. Trippy shit get high as fuck, I be on them dab pipes. Plus I got my cash right, shining on them like a flashlight. In the projects with a ratchet bitch, her house look like a crash site. Shorty pussy so wet, waterfall, TLC. That wax got me turned up, that shit there just TAC.
Fire, fire,
getting paid.
Fire, fire,
getting blazed. In that new Bentley truck and I'm whipping it like a runaway slave. I come up with a hit and put it on wax. My homie high shit, I put him on wax. It's going down like candle wax. Homie, I get on that wax and I ain't coming back. Wax, wax, put him on wax. Wax, wax, put him on wax. Homie, I get on that wax and I ain't coming back. Let's get stoned. Take a hit of this and you won't make it home. Take another hit, now I'm in my zone. I can't remember shit, these drugs got me gone. Let's get high, let's get stoned. Take a hit of this and you won't make it home. Take another hit, now I'm in my zone. I can't remember shit, these drugs got me gone.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Big Daddy Think.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
We are looking at 31 after the hour, and joining us by telephone, a frequent guest to the Russ Belville Show and a good friend, Diane Goldstein from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Do we have you on the line, Diane?
I am here, checking in from beautiful downtown Seattle, Washington.
All right. And also joining us on the call, I hope we've got Morgan Haas from the Washington Marijuana Business Association. Can you hear me, Morgan?
I'm here, Russ. Thanks for having me.
It's a minor miracle. I'm in Florida controlling a computer from Portland, talking to two people in Seattle. Bless technology.
It's awesome. So great.
All right. Now, the reason we've got you here is to promote a really great event that's happening tomorrow. The Marijuana Business Association Cannabis Women's Alliance Women and Cannabis Business Power Luncheon. So we've said business, cannabis, and women twice. I know what we're talking about here, but tell us a little bit about the event. Let's start with Morgan.
All right. Well, we actually call it the MJBA Women's Alliance. That's our official new name. And our event tomorrow is held at the Columbia Tower Club at 11 a.m. And we are so thankful that Diane Goldstein is going to be our keynote speaker. We'll have about 50 of Washington's finest cannabis producers, retailers and processors all under one roof, and they all happen to be women, and they are amazing.
That's great to hear. And of course, we've seen throughout polls all across this nation where women's support for legalization of marijuana usually lags 5 to 10 points behind that of men's. Morgan, can you explain what women will learn at this, or what anyone will learn at this luncheon if they choose to attend?
Well, we think that it's a great opportunity for all of us all to get together in one place, because we have similar concerns, we've had similar struggles. We honestly feel that this is the time for us to step up into our leadership roles and to take a real stance in business and cannabis and all kinds of activism that we're all already a part of. My particular favorite is business. I think women in business need to be promoted, that their brands need to be understood, and when we all get together, we do nothing but help each other, and that everybody wins at that, including the men in our society.
That's great to hear. The MJBA Women's Alliance. This is the Women in Cannabis Business Power Luncheon. It's tomorrow, Friday, May 16th at the Columbia Tower Club, way up on the 76th floor in downtown Seattle. So I imagine it's got an amazing view from there, huh?
The best view is actually from the restroom. And so I'm sure we'll have a lot of potty breaks. But Diane Goldstein is going to be our keynote speaker. We are so thankful that she's going to be there. She's such an amazing, powerful force for women. And I just found out about 10 minutes ago that your good friend, Cheryl Schumann, will be joining us as well. So
fantastic.
It's going to be a great room full of pretty awesome women, and I encourage all women to come.
All right. Well, let's talk to Diane just a little bit. We've spoken to Diane in her role with law enforcement against prohibition many times on the show as a retired police officer, someone who says cops say legalize drugs. But now, Diane, we're talking about moving into the legal marijuana movement where it's, you know, not so much criminal justice and a whole lot more business. What do you plan to let these women know as you're speaking to them there tomorrow?
Well, you know what? My message is still an activism message and a social justice message. And it's really to talk about how the war on drugs has not only failed the cannabis industry, but for the cannabis industry and activists not to forget that the war isn't over just because we're winning on cannabis. And that although, and I think, Russ, you and I have had that conversation before, you know, there is this issue of marijuana exceptionalism, and there's the issue sometimes of how activists sometimes tend to push aside and say, you know, marijuana good, everybody else we don't care about, and they can continue to go to jail. So it's a combination of really bringing the Pauline Stabenow message back. This isn't just about marijuana. This is about ending prohibition. And we need strong women in leadership positions, whether they're grassroots activists, grasstop activists in drug policy reform, or industry leaders, to continue to spread the message that it's drug prohibition that has failed, not just us individually, but our communities and our society as a whole.
Absolutely. Now, the critics of the emerging, what they call big marijuana, the marijuana, legal marijuana business, will say that, you know, prohibition is a bad thing. We shouldn't lock people up. Marijuana shouldn't be that big a deal. But if we allow it to go commercialized, if we allow it to go through big business, it's going to be, you know, exploited. They're going to exploit addiction. It's going to be bad for kids. They're going to advertise. How do you respond to those kind of criticisms of the legal marijuana industry? Let's start with Diane, and then we'll have Morgan answer the same question.
You know, I tend to be a little bit of libertarian in my thinking, and I'm not saying that the free market should completely envelop the emerging marijuana industry. But I think that one of the things that we can do and we should do is provide a process that allows the small business owner to succeed. And if we have enough small business owners in the industry, that will keep the, you know, so to speak, big marijuana out of taking over and doing those types of things. And I don't believe in this big marijuana. I mean, I think that's just another attack because it's convenient. You know, we need to continue to press the message, and I'm not here advocating for drug abuse in any way, shape, or form, but our drug policies have to be based on scientific evidence, and we know that marijuana prohibition only allows our kids to access, and it creates danger for those most at risk and disenfranchised because of the collateral consequences. We need to develop smart regulatory process that respect adult youth consumption and protect medical marijuana patients and safe access.
Morgan, what say you on that subject of big marijuana and the business industry coming into it?
I think that it is. When we get together and we talk about best practices and education and competition and all the things that come with this new industry, we really do need to be responsible business owners. And when we're responsible and we keep our rules and our regulations and we come together to make sure that we're all playing on the same level field, then we can be successful in our businesses and support each other and support each other's small businesses.
Excellent. Now, talking about a level playing field, I want to move back to Diane for a second here, because it's not really a level playing field when we talk about drug policy, because often law enforcement uses their public, you know, their bully pulpit and their ability to influence legislators to then influence the debates on legalization or medical marijuana. Most recent example of that being Minnesota. And sometimes they just come right out and lie. And I got this statement. It said, it was from a sheriff's association, I believe, that said, of the 20 states with the highest driver acknowledgement of drugged driving. 15 were states that have passed legislation legalizing marijuana. Do you recall which association that was, and did you have anything you wanted to say about that?
Florida Sheriff's Association, in response to their opening salvo against, is it the Amendment 2?
Yes.
Ballot initiative. And not only did they say that, but the other thing that they flat out lied about, Russ, was the statement that they said that Charlie Beck and LAPD said that there was a direct nexus between crime and medical marijuana dispensaries. And in fact, Charlie Beck never said that. And in addition, now we have multiple studies that show that there is no nexus between a properly regulated medical marijuana industry and crime.
Yeah. And so, this is I had seen this pop up the other day, and you know what I do. I look stuff up here on the show, and I went to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. And the statement was that out of all the states that have the top 20 that have the most reported self-reported drug driving, 15 were medical marijuana states. From 2002 to 2011, the most I could find was 5 in 1 2-year set. And it was usually 2 or 3 of those states were in the top 20. Meanwhile, most of the medical marijuana states were actually below the national average in their self-reported drug driving. So a complete lie and a 180 from what the facts actually say. And Morgan, when you hear things like that, when you're trying to, you know, get the truth out about marijuana for the business industry, how much does that anger you to hear lies like that from law enforcement?
Oh, that's a good question. I really couldn't answer that. I don't have much of an opinion. Could you?
Yeah, sure. Diane, you want to?
Sure. I think one of the things that we're seeing is that because now we've actually have a history of medical marijuana starting back to 1996, and Drug Policy Reform activists, because of, I think, our voices, also now have mainstream academic research and other scientific evidence to be able to rebut the lies. And it really almost in some aspects shows that we're winning. But what we have to continue to do is make certain. So in Florida, and I know you're in Florida this week right now, right, Russ?
Yes.
That we need to raise money so LEAP can send speakers to those affected states. I know recently I was up in Sacramento testifying for Tom Amiano's regulatory bill for benefit marijuana. And in addition, during the same time, not just LEAP, but other drug policy organizations shot down the latest rendition of the zero tolerance DUID bill in California that they then amended to make it a 2 nanogram per se limit. And that was shut down as well. And so I think these are the last salvos of the prohibitionists that have nothing else left. And so they've basically resorted to lying. It's kind of the unjustified means that whole Machiavellian effect of the drug war has had on our law enforcement officials. It's wrong, it's inappropriate, and it needs to end.
Our guest is Diane Goldstein from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a retired lieutenant commander in the Redondo Beach Police Department and a board member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. She'll be speaking tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. This event is going on. She's not speaking the whole time, but she'll be giving the keynote address at this event, the MJBA Women's Alliance Power Luncheon, Women and Cannabis Business Power Luncheon, taking place, like I said, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific, out there in Seattle, Washington, at the Columbia Tower Club, 76th floor. If you want more information on this, they got a Facebook page, MJBA is what you're looking for, or Eventbrite, MJBA, or you can contact our other guest, Morgan, who's on the line with us, Morgan@MJBA.net. So, Morgan,
right.
As we wind things up in the interview, any closing thoughts here for this luncheon tomorrow or MJBA in general?
We have meetings every third Tuesday of the month. We encourage all business people in Washington State to come out and check it out, network with each other. We have a lot of applicants who have received their licenses, and it's just need an opportunity to get together. We also have MJ Headline News, which is a wonderful news source for anybody looking to keep up to date what's going on here. Thank you so much, Russ.
Oh, you're welcome, Morgan. We'll see you soon up there in Seattle, Washington. I'll be there next week on the 22nd for an event, business event. I'll be doing some panel moderating. And Al Olson, my friend from NBC News, will be moderating another business event from MJBA. Check them out at mjba.net for more information about this growing organization. And Diane Goldstein from Leap, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? Tell Neil Franklin hello for me out there, and please let me know what else I can do to make certain that Florida is successful and that we continue to move forward. And just remember that law enforcement against prohibition needs not only the marijuana and cannabis industry and grassroots activists to continue to help us end the entire war on drugs and start basing our national drug policies on science and human rights.
All right, great words there, and you'll hear more of them at this event tomorrow. Check out mjba.net for more information. Morgan Haas from MJBA and Diane Goldstein from Leap, thank you so much for being a part of the show today.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you, Russ.
All right, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. We're going to talk about, is Minnesota actually a medical marijuana state or not? It's hard to tell what qualifies anymore. We'll talk about this mishmash of a compromise that just got out in just a moment.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420 Radio.
They say people addicted to heroin have a monkey on their back. Isn't that cute?
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Crap. There we are. I'm so sorry about that. We've got a rant. Again, I'm trying to control a computer across time and space. My apologies. I had it on mute to get rid to close our last conversation, but now I'm back. Everybody hearing me okay? All right, we'll have this worked out, I swear. If only I had an assistant who didn't get me arrested. Okay. Anyway, let me start over. How many medical marijuana states are there? It's a good question now. How many medical marijuana states are there? Because this is something that came up a while back with Celeb Stoner asking a question on Twitter, at Celeb Stoner, asking how many medical marijuana states are there? Are there 21? Are there 25? 21 being the, what we normally call the medical marijuana states plus DC. Or 25, since Utah, Kentucky, Alabama, and another state passed the CBD only. Medical marijuana. So that becomes the question, right? Is a CBD-only state a medical marijuana state? Well, we got a reply from Marijuana Policy Project, at Marijuana Policy, who said no. No, CBD-only is not a medical marijuana state because, for the same reason, that all 50 states aren't medical marijuana states because Marinol is legal, right? You can get a THC pill, Marinol, in any state. But that doesn't make those states medical marijuana states because you don't have access to the whole plant, right? The reasoning was you can't take a constituent like THC and put it in Marinol or CBD and put it in an oil and call that a medical marijuana state. Okay, I'm willing to accept that. But then that brings up kind of a problem with the news that we got out of Minnesota. What has happened in Minnesota is the Senate has passed a medical marijuana bill with an overwhelming veto-proof majority. And the House has passed a medical marijuana bill with an overwhelming veto-proof majority. And the two versions were wildly different. In the Senate version, they were going to allow 55 growing and dispensing centers. I don't know the breakdown of how many are grow sites or how many are dispensaries, but 55 total. That was in the Senate bill. In the House bill, one grow site, three dispensaries for an entire state, right? Now, understand as we're talking about this, the Senate bill is the bill that the medical marijuana advocates fought for and preferred. The House bill is the bill crafted by law enforcement and legislators with an eye toward getting the governor's signature. And of course, law enforcement and the governor don't want that evil legalization of marijuana to happen, so it's got to be just medical. The 55 in the Senate, 55 places in the Senate, four in the House bill, there was going to be neither bill. Neither House nor Senate bill would allow the smoking of marijuana. That's right. Minnesota is set to become the first non-smoking medical marijuana state. But in the Senate version, they at least made the sensible decision to put in vaporization, that you could vaporize medical marijuana. In the House version, though, no smoking and no vaporizing unless being supervised by a doctor, because you know how dangerous vaporization is. We have to have a doctor supervision. In the Senate bill, it had the standard conditions of things like cancer and, you know, I don't know if it has glaucoma, but, you know, spasms and multiple sclerosis, those kind of things, AIDS. But the Senate bill also included pain, nausea, wasting syndrome, and post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, things like that. And the House version didn't. Because you know how people would fake those things to get the evil marijuana. So what has happened with the compromise? Let me explain to you how compromise works in Minnesota with a governor who's got the ear of law enforcement. Here's the compromise. The Senate side said, all right, 55, that might be too much. We'll negotiate down to 24. And the House side said, no, we'll have 1 and 3. And the compromise between what they went down to 24, from 55 to 24, what we ended up with is 2 grow sites and 8 dispensaries. So 10. So we compromised down from 55 versus 4. From 55 to versus 4, we ended up at 10 for the whole state. That whole thing about no smoking of marijuana, that's still in there. But guess what else happened? No vaporization of marijuana. Minnesota is about to become the only medical marijuana state where you are not allowed to have bud. A no medical marijuana plant, medical marijuana state. No smoking of bud, no vaporization of bud. The only medical marijuana that will be available will be in pill, tincture, salve, oil form. And part of the reason why they don't want any flower, of course, you know, because that way we don't have to worry about patrolling whether or not someone's smoking it, right? That's the evil we gotta eliminate. We can't have people smoking pot. To eliminate that evil, no plant allowed, no bud allowed, no vaporization allowed. And the governor said, well, you know, part of this is that we want to make sure that marijuana flowers aren't, you know, diverted and sold on the black market. And so the answer to that was to force patients, if they want to vaporize, to use oil. Yeah, don't worry. Oil has no value on the black market, Governor Dayton. Don't worry. To add insult to injury, no pain, no nausea, no wasting, no PTSD, no traumatic brain injury coverage. And they openly said that we could have covered 3,500 Minnesotans with the Senate version. We're only going to cover 5,000 with the House version. And that's the compromise that was made, that 30,000 Minnesotans should just continue to suffer. And what's at the heart of this is that Box Canyon that I've been talking about for 4 or 5 years now, that if you continue to maintain marijuana prohibition, you continue to say marijuana is medical, the alternate of that, the flip side of that, is that non-medical is bad somehow. And then you've got to narrow down your regulations to make sure you're not letting the bad smokers in and keeping the good smokers out. You've got to keep narrowing and narrowing. And now it's gotten so narrow, the Box Canyon is now so narrow, that they're not even allowing us to touch the plant. And of course, once the FDA trials for Sativex and Epidiolex and those types of drugs are passed and those become legal and controlled by insurance, how easy will it be for all of the Minnesota dispensaries to swap out all the oils and tinctures and replace them with GW Pharmaceuticals? It's exactly what I predicted with the Box Canyon, and it's coming true. So I'll still ask the question, is Minnesota the 22nd medical marijuana state, including DC? Do we count states that don't allow patients to use plant as a medical marijuana state? I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, pokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. Take a seat, you're planning, you're growing, you're trying, you're